The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And very pleasant good afternoon. We have reached Wednesday on the march to the holiday, the 4th of July. It's always a great holiday. This year, as all holidays, it feels a little bit different, but we hope you're able to get away and maybe relax a little bit and celebrate the independence of this country. A lot to do today. There were hearings in Washington today where commissioners and ADs spoke, including Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, testifying on many, many things from coronavirus protocol to name, image, and likeness. Sankey told the Senate Commerce Committee that there needs to be protection for student athletes because they are not experienced enough with business matters to handle certain decision-making issues associated with the NIL. He said he wasn't quite there yet in relation to players receiving money. It was a very interesting hearing. Athletic director at Ole Miss, Keith Carter, expressed fear that the NIL rules would result in sponsorship money going from schools to athletes. They're really a fairly negative view from people within college athletics about players receiving money. It certainly is something that will be discussed. It's not the most important issue going on right now in intercollegiate athletics, but it certainly was a big issue today. A lot of criticism coming from among the senators, some of the senators, including Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who has made this one of her pet causes. One senator asked Sankey whether in relation to his commitment to it, he said he is not yet in favor of players getting money, but he's coming around. Anyway, a lot to talk about. The continued conversation about college football is also there. Not a lot of good news around the country today as numbers continue to spike up. And is it a reality or not that college football's on-time start time of Labor Day weekend could be in jeopardy? We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about the liability and the legality that certain schools will be dealing with. Among the guests, we'll talk to a lawyer right out of the chute who will address that subject. That as well as Rick Haro, our sports business expert. Henry Bushnell from Yahoo Sports did a deep dive into the conversation out there that some schools, whether coaches are encouraging them or not, is debatable. But there is some conversation out there that schools are not dissuading players from getting COVID and with the intent of getting herd immunity. And we're going to talk to Henry Bushnell, who had conversations with countless people in intercollegiate athletics about that. And will join us a little bit later in the show. Plus, the mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, much like Montgomery the other day when we had the mayor down there, one of the centerpieces, if not the epicenter, of the civil rights movement in the 60s, a community that has progressed mightily since then, but still dealing with COVID-19 issues among many of its less fortunate, as well as racial inequality. We'll talk to Mayor Randall Woodfin a little bit later on. Plus, your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we'll get to your calls right now. Pat is up first in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A couple of things. I listened to Hour 4 podcast this morning from yesterday, and all of the calls, there was one sniper, and then there was a really good explanation about the origin of African-American. The rest of the callers wanted to talk about college football and was right on subject. It was pleasant to listen to the podcast. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about, do you know how long your program will not be on TV? Is it just for this week, or are you getting any information from the network?
Yeah, no, I do know that. What happens every July is a 2-week takeover, so it will be another week after this.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I have reverted to either listening in the car or listening to the podcasts in the meantime. There was a caller yesterday wanting to sign a waiver so that he could go to an Alabama game, and I certainly understand that. But all of us, regardless of our desire to go watch, sit in the stands and watch a college football game, we have a responsibility to society to not get the COVID-19 virus and spread it to others. We have an obligation to society. It's not just that I'm willing to get it and die in order to go to a football game, or not die, just get real sick in order to go to a football game. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I do. I've always believed that people, if given the choice, should make that choice for themselves. This is a little more complex because this is not about you or about me. It's about both of us if we're at the same place. And, just because I feel one way doesn't mean you have to, but I do believe, I'm not speaking of you per se, but,
yes.
If someone walks into my house, as was the case earlier today when, fixing something, and I have a mask on and they don't, I'm like going, who's getting the short end of this? To me, if you go to a football game, you better respect the person sitting next to you.
Okay, and I'm not going to disagree with your point of view, but let me suggest that the reason, there's a number of reasons. Masks are important. Social distancing is important. It's a possibility, and I'll say this as diplomatically as I can, it's a possibility that the country is spiking where it is spiking, and we're no longer welcome in Europe because people are caring about themselves and are not caring about their responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not one of these, Pat. I agree with you. I mean, when I heard yesterday that people from the United States of America are not welcome in France and other countries, I'm like going, I mean, we saved that country. It would have been in German hands. It was in German hands until D-Day. And by the way, I didn't get angry about that, but I'm trying to think, after all that, our country is so screwed up right now that they're not going to let people from this country into another country, especially a friendly. I mean, it was a baffling thing to read. But you know what? They're probably right.
Oh, yes, they are, because of the what's happened with the spiking in COVID-19. By the way, a bunch of us, including me and you, we're not welcome in the in New England right now either. Well,
oh, no,
we're
you're absolutely
we're
right. I could not go to New York today, a place I spent most of the fall in, unless I was quarantined for 2 weeks.
You're absolutely right. And you talked about high school football and the possibility, all the things that you got to go through for them to play this fall. And I haven't heard anything else in Houston County, but that's going to be that's going to be tough on high school football if they're going to play at all. Schools are probably going to open up with split sessions, half days, and some kids in school and some kids online and some kids doing both. So that's going to be a hard time.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was an article today in USA Today, and thank you for the call very much, Pat, by Dan Wokin, who I don't know if there are many people that have covered the return to play better or more aggressively than Woken. And, you know, he really painted a very bleak picture of the season. I'll just read a couple of lines from the article. He said, if the current, this is in USA Today, he said, if the current trajectory of the COVID-19 pandemic does not change in the next 2 weeks, playing the college football season as scheduled is in significant peril. He talked to more than a dozen administrators, coaches, and other people intimately involved in collegiate sports, all of whom spoke with USA Today on the condition of anonymity. And it was a really bleak picture. A couple of headlines. He said, the idea of delaying college football to the spring has been revived in some quarters. In fact, the Ivy League will make a decision next Wednesday on whether they are going to move to the spring, and most people think they're going to. Not that that really matters to what we're talking about here. He said some FBS conferences are actively engaged with banks on opening up credit lines to guard against lost revenue or complete wipeout. Coaches and administrators still don't know what the next move is. And, you know, the expense of testing is, and the fact that some are not, is leaving others to say we're not playing a school that is not going through a test pattern. He goes on to say, you know, he gives some of the numbers, which we all know by now. And, you know, he ultimately gets down to the nitty-gritty where it is beginning to be somewhat doubtful that anything remotely resembling a normal season hangs in the balance. Anyway, he said he called the next few weeks the most critical in the history of college football. Dan Woken from USA Today. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls and many guests to come as we continue here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back on a Wednesday afternoon. Much to do today. Let's get back to the calls before the guests start stacking up here. Coach is up next in Georgia. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Paul. Thanks again for taking my call. I thought you might be interested in what's happening from a high school perspective. We're 3 weeks into our summer program, and just kind of want to share with you and maybe some of your listeners what's going on here. I'm in the state of Georgia. And our first 2 weeks, we had we were limited to 20 people per session, counting coaches. A coach could not repeat a session. At my particular school, we had 4 sessions in a day, beginning at 8 in the morning, which made for a fairly long day for some of the coaches. I'm the athletic director, so it was a little more difficult there for me, athletic director, head football coach. And beginning last Monday, we were able to go 52 groups. We cut ours down to 2, and then they did enable us to use a ball, and we could use a ball and have helmets. But when our players come in, we take temperature. We remind them of there's a series of questions that we're required to ask them. We do that concerning their exposure to COVID-19, and we try to educate them. We have plenty of hand sanitizing stuff around that they can use, and we also spray our equipment between sessions. Now we not only run, we lift weights, we do football skill stuff as well. We cannot go 11-on-11 right now, but we can work football skills and that type of thing. So it's been interesting. And one
Coach,
main reason
I'm interested. How do you, just from the coaching standpoint alone, I mean, how do you guys work together? Because I mean, I'm sure there are some limitations as well.
Well, the thing that we try to do is, again, a coach is not supposed to repeat groups. And now it's a little easier in that we have two groups. So basically, a school our size, we break it down JV and varsity. We have some of our JV coaches primarily handle our JV, and we're kind of in another part of the building. And then our varsity coaches handle the older players, 10, 11th, and 12th graders. But we're not supposed to, like I said, switch back and forth. But, you know, I had that we would have a normal season until really just this morning I'd heard that there's a conference in Central California that has already canceled the season, canceled football season. And much like the collegiate level, you know, many of our athletic departments are really dependent on football for revenue.
Sure.
And that being one thing, of course, safety is the primary issue. Safety, nothing's more important than the health and well-being of our student-athletes and our coaches. I guess I'm a little worried now. I thought everything would probably work out. You know, hearing that this morning and just the conversation, I've been driving most of the day, the conversation, it really has me concerned.
Let me ask you this, because I'm not surprised that you're going to get outliers around the country doing what you've heard, but within the state, and we're talking about one of the best states for high school football in the country, what are your colleagues that you communicate with? Are they satisfied that all the requirements can be met?
You know, I think they're hopeful, Paul. I don't know if that's a good way of answering that.
Right.
I think
I've heard that more
attitude,
before.
Yeah. I think their attitude is like mine. We're going to do exactly what's required of us. We're going to do everything the Georgia High School Association mandates we do. We're going to follow proper protocol, and we're going to act in good faith and feel like that we're going to play. You know, one thing, I guess this is a personal thought here, and again, you can take my personal opinion and go to a 7-Eleven and buy a soft drink for $2 someplace. But anyway, you know, I had rather see us, if we should have a young man or woman, you know, come down with COVID-19, that they would then quarantine and handle it much like, you know, bad case of the flu, and not just cancel all activities for the whole entire team. And there's been some difference in how different schools in Georgia have handled this. I saw in Cobb County, where they'd had some athletes that had COVID-19, and they did just what I just said. They quarantined the athletes involved, and they continued on with the summer program. Whereas there's other programs, Ware County being one, and Glenn, when they had athletes that were diagnosed positively with COVID-19, that they shut down the summer program. They did that as well in Effingham. So, you know, I'm real concerned right now. Again, I've had hope since this thing has started that we were going to be okay, that we were going to play. And I think it's important, particularly for a lot of these small communities. But, you know, at this point, your article you referenced, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the next 2 weeks is going to determine football season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. It really, I mean, you personalize it because it's easy to talk about this from a neutral position, but when I hear what you're talking about, and you know it all better than I do, Coach, but you have to get the games. Those are things I really wonder about. I mean, the locker room is problematic, you still have to. I mean, how do you get to a road game?
Well, you know, that's a concern. And you know, the thing we try to do is stay on top of, you know, educating ourselves. We, you know, we wear a mask, we wash our hands, we spray diligently, we communicate with the players daily, and they hear the same things over and over, Paul, which might be a good thing, you know. And again, I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but, you know, high school coaches, we love our players, and we great deal of respect for them. And it's really hard to see a young man, maybe you hadn't seen in a while, not to go up and shake his hand and pat him on the back.
Oh, sure,
hey,
I can imagine. That's got to be
tough.
You know,
and so it's different. And, you know, we've got some challenges before us, but I really, again, I'm going to hold out hope. We're going to play. And you mentioned the recruiting. you know, we've got some players that are actively being recruited. I've got a couple of good players. And one young man is kind of, he's on that bubble. Is he a Division One guy? Is he going to be a FCS guy? And, you know, going based on junior film, I would say probably FCS. But he's you know, made a lot of progress in the offseason, strong academically. You know, I think given a chance to play, could prove himself a Division One prospect. So, you know, there's a lot of variables there.
Well, first of all, I really appreciate you sharing this, and I don't want to ever infringe on what you're doing, but it would be helpful because it's so interesting just to hear something other than the corporate speak that we get here. I mean, this is the real deal, what you're talking about.
Well, we're in the real world. You're right. And you know, the players themselves, I'll end with this. I know you have other callers. I think the student-athletes themselves have a positive, hopeful attitude. One thing we noticed, you know, we were without sports for about, 10-12 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
And when they came back, they had, you talk about a perfect attitude now. You talk about eager, listening to everything you've said, we said, and anxious. Okay, coach, let's do it. Let's wash our hands. Let's practice the social distancing. Let's get it done. And then had a great attitude about the preparation, about the lifting, the running, the football skills. So I've really enjoyed that aspect, and that we've got a very attentive group. But, you know, and it's going to be, you know, again, I hate to end on a negative, but it will be a real shame if we don't have a football. I just really hope that somehow that we, the numbers, you know, decrease, and we can play football on the high school level and on the collegiate level.
Hey, that's why you're a coach. I mean, I hope you're right, Coach, and please stay in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
What a pleasure. Yeah, that's it's one thing to talk to writers and commissioners and even head football coaches making $10 million a year. But, I mean, everyone can remember high school. Some of you are still in high school. That guy right there, he's a coach and an athletic director with a lot on his shoulders right now. We'll take a break. We'll talk about some of the legality of what schools are facing this fall when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome you back. Really great to have all of you here. And you know, someone brought up liability yesterday about college football and, you know, how big of an issue this is. We've already talked about some student athletes in various parts of the country signing waivers. That has been knocked down even by athletic directors. They saying it has no legal binding. It's just something that they're trying to educate. I don't know how that works out in a court of law. But anyway, what are universities facing? Ty Lothar is an attorney in Birmingham. He does a lot of work in not specifically maybe in this field, but generally. I don't know how many people do work in that specific field. But Todd, thank you very much. Really nice to have you on.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Fan of your show for many years. Grew up listening to your show with my father and have continued as an adult.
Well, thank you for saying that. That means a great deal. I have heard many, many wonderful things about your dad, as many have in the Alabama community. So I appreciate you saying that. Let me kind of go at this broadly, because we're not there yet, but I'm sure this all started yesterday when somebody asked me about liability going to a football game, or students coming on campus, or all those things. And I just said, without much knowledge of the situation, that I'm sure the president of Alabama and Auburn and everywhere else is probably walking down the hall to the general counsel's office and having a similar conversation. And not only do you probably know all these people, but you know how it works. So can you kind of take us through a primer on what really needs to happen here?
Well, Paul, I think for one thing, we're dealing with unprecedented times, so there's not really a how-to book out there for athletic directors and colleges to consult on what to do on a global pandemic basis. So, you said it earlier. No, I don't think there is any lawyer in the world that has ever really addressed what liabilities colleges or any business for that matter may have related to a pandemic like this one. So we're all kind of speculating a little bit, but thinking about it in terms of a football game, for example, which seems to be the biggest topic of interest on all of these sports shows right now, especially yours. There are a lot of things to consider. I mean, you've got the potential liability to your own players. You have potential liability for opposing players. So, you referred to the fact that Ohio State is requiring its players to sign a waiver that it's not really calling a waiver. But are they going to require the other players that come into their stadium to play to sign a waiver? You got potential liability to your fans that come into your stadiums for the football games. And, to me, I was talking with one of my partners earlier today, and maybe the most interesting potential claim you could see out there that universities could face is not necessarily the player who chooses to play or the fan who makes the decision to walk into your stadium, knowing the risks, but the grandfather of the person who walks into your stadium and gets sick and takes it home, and the grandfather or the grandmother gets sick, and they never signed a waiver, they never made any decision to walk into your football stadium, and yet here they are sick because you decided to play a football game and may or may not have taken appropriate precautions with respect to preventing infections. So, you can play it out as far as you want to play it out, and there are going to be a million legal issues to the extent there are these types of claims in the future. But, you can imagine all kinds of different claims that colleges could face.
Todd, just from a from that standpoint, is there anything? I mean, I realize, as you said, we're dealing in somewhat uncharted waters. But is there anything the university can do? Let's just stick with the fans, for instance. If you are able to go to the game, you're one of however many thousand. Do you think they would require some waiver of sort?
I would, yes. I mean, I think that with respect to certainly the fans, and if they can stomach it with the players as well, they will require some sort of a waiver to be signed. And this is not new to sports at all. My children both play different types of recreational sports, and I have signed away, my rights to sue over concussions and broken ankles and everything else for many years with 10-year-old boys. So that's not new, and it's not new for any type of establishment that's welcoming the public onto their property to ask for somebody to waive known risks. And that's what it really kind of boils down to, Paul, and that is that whether or not a waiver is signed, but you got a better defense probably if one is signed, sticking with the people who decide to actually come to these football games, they know that there is a potential for infection. And if they sign a waiver recognizing that, probably even if they don't, but especially if they do, then they are really assuming certain risks. Now, there are some things you can't waive, and depending on what state you're in, these waivers are enforceable in many states to some extent. In some states, they're not worth the paper they're written on. But so it is also a state-by-state issue. But even in the states where they're enforceable, there are exceptions for public policy. There are exceptions for you can't waive gross negligence or willfulness or recklessness and that sort of thing. So there are protections that colleges can do and should do, and I assume will do, but they are certainly not going to completely eliminate the risks of lawsuits.
Todd, would it be similar in relation to anything else that happens on campus from a student standpoint or faculty standpoint? Not to make the faculty into elderly people, but most are considerably older than the students.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they could certainly come up with I've never heard of somebody having to sign a waiver to go to class, but they could come up with something like that and just basically tell people, look, we are going to offer online courses and we are going to offer courses that are live. If you want to attend the live courses, it is voluntary and you've got to sign this waiver. And so that's another part of it, is these waivers are not enforceable if they are coerced, if they're any kind of coercion. You can't. The universities are not going to be able to tell their players you're going to lose your scholarship unless you sign this thing, right. And you can't tell a student that you can't come to college here unless you sign one of these things. But if they give them some reasonable alternatives, and one of the alternatives is to sign the waiver in exchange for being allowed to do certain things, I think that they could probably get away with that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, and I'm sure it takes you back to law school where you probably start coming up with every imaginable possibility, but I'm sure we could both come up with countless ones just involving players, integrity. I mean, I don't know how any of this is going to really be monitored, and the sad part is I'm not sure I don't think the universities do either, but it just seems like we are opening up Pandora's box from a legal standpoint.
I think that's true, and as one of my partners said this morning when I was talking to him about coming on your show, he said that the standard of care often looks different when you are in the thick of things than it does, you know, a year later when you're in a court of law fighting about things. things that look reasonable right now may not look reasonable a year from now. And so there's always a degree of Monday morning quarterbacking that goes into all of these things. So we can probably see that coming down the pipe.
Well, sadly, as we always used to joke, as somebody who has been on too many the other side of lawsuits, we are keeping a lot of good law firms in business, hopefully including yours.
Thank goodness.
Hey, listen, Todd, thank you so much. Really great to have you on and appreciate the very kind words.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Birmingham attorney Todd Lather joining us from Birmingham about some of the legality or the legal issues of all of this. As you heard Todd say, there's really no easy way around it. There are going to be lawsuits because nobody really knows how and what. We've never been here before. We'll take a break. Open it. We are wide open here to grab some phone calls here before our next guest pops up. And if you want to give us a ring, this is your time. 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon, holiday week. Great to have you with us, and let's continue with more phone calls. Dr. J in Chattanooga.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing? That was a great show so far. Tough times for on many levels, but I really enjoyed listening to the high school coach. I've talked to some professor friends down in Florida and high school friends where I went to high school. And, you know, I concur with everybody, you know, what everybody's saying out there. I think what's going to happen is this is going to be not just this fall, but probably even into next fall. And I'm not as confident about a vaccine. I think what's ultimately going to happen is you're going to have regional play in terms of high school and college sports, and it's going to be like the Northeast, where New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are comfortable with each other residents moving around, and then you'll have maybe Southeastern residents, Northwest, Southwest, and I think you're going to see that for the next year or two. Those are my thoughts, but anyways. I just wanted to thank you for such a great show and doing such a good service to high school and college sports, Paul.
Thank you very much. That means a great deal. Really appreciate that. Greg is up next. Greg is in Florida. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. Nice talking to you. Thank you for taking my call. Listening to your show. I enjoy listening to that attorney. I happen to be an attorney as well, and I represent people who get injured. And the only thing I would say, he made some good points about waivers, but I've been talking to a lot of my colleagues, too, about this kind of stuff, and what we all seem to agree on is it's going to be damn near impossible to prove that somebody got it somewhere. If this virus being as contagious as it is, how in the heck are you going to prove they got it at a football game and didn't get it from the grocery store he went to the day before? So I think that, you know, some of this is a little bit overblown and trying to make us lawyers into boogeymen. We're not bad people, but at the end of the day, I mean, I just don't see how you prove that, you know, they got it from the football game, as opposed, unless they just stayed at their house and the only place they went was the football game in the past 3 months. I mean, I just don't see how you.
Well, Greg, you know the line. There's a million jokes about lawyers, but everybody hates them until they need one.
Exactly.
I used to. I spoke a couple of years ago at a plaintiff attorney convention with about 3,000 lawyers. So I've run out of lawyer jokes after that, you're absolutely right. I mean, contact tracing is good on one level, but it's not. I'd hate to see you try to bring that one into court.
I agree, and that's kind of the way I look at it. But I'm sure other lawyers will disagree with me, as we all.
Hey, thank
often
you very
do.
Much. You bet. Great to have you on. It's been a really interesting program. First hour. We have more to do, and Ricardo will join us. So the mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, and a Yahoo writer has talked about who has investigated herd immunity. We'll back after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.